sharing with Laura that in Connecticut at Cheshire Bible Chapel, we weren't allowed to bring coffee into the sanctuary. So when we came to Lady of Lakes Bible Chapel and I saw that we could bring coffee in the sanctuary, I said to my wife, we've graduated. Would you open your Bibles, please, to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. And we'd like to just share a few thoughts this morning. And if there's time at the end, the reason I've handed out the lyrics to this song is that it has been a real blessing to my heart to just meditate on the lyrics of this song called The Echo of You. So I hope there's time at the end to play it, if it all works out. And if not, you have the lyrics there before you. And of course, you could probably see from the theme of the hymns that we've been singing, hopefully, just where our thought process is as we share with you some practical applications from Galatians chapter 1. More about Jesus would I know, more of his grace and mercy show. And then, I am thine, O Lord, I have heard thy voice and told thy love to me, but I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee. More about Jesus, closer drawn to thee, and then take time to be holy. So there's a challenge there in our lives that we make the time to be holy, to spend time alone with the Lord. Amen? It's okay to say amen, by the way. Just want to let you know that because it's in Scripture over and over again. So this theme, as we have been brought before us a few weeks ago, Nathan did a wonderful job in explained for us the book of Galatians, a beautiful outline, PowerPoint, and all that stuff that I wish I was good at. But he did a great job in explaining to us the theme of salvation by grace in the book of Galatians. And so we see that again in his outline he brought before us. And it was interesting, I thought, back in August, if you read the Days of Praise, which is our little booklet on the back table, I think there's a couple left back there, and there's also in the hallway, and I just want to put a little plug in for ICR this morning, Institute for Creation Research. I feel that I've read Daily Bread for many years, but about 25, maybe longer ago, I started reading Days of Praise, and it's kind of like Daily Bread on steroids. It's really a little deeper than our Daily Bread. And so I want to just encourage you to read that. But in the Days of Praise, what I was getting to in the month of August, on the 15th of August, I found this interesting, and Nathan mentioned it very clearly in his outline of the book of Galatians, were these thoughts. The book of Galatians, it was written in that Days of Praise, includes no commendation by Paul, as in other epistles. No commendation. Nor is there any prayer requests. Paul was very displeased, disappointed in the churches there and in their ministry and how far they've come from the true gospel, from the true gospel. And so, to reiterate that just a little bit, the theme is salvation by grace aside from works. We want to look at that a little bit this morning. No commendation at all. What a sad commentary, so to speak, as we look at this passage. So I'd like to read for you Galatians chapter 1, and then in the time that we have this morning, I'd like to just make a couple points of personal application to all of our lives from it. Okay, so let's look together. I'll be reading from the New American Standard Bible, and you read from your translation in Galatians chapter number 1. Paul, an apostle, not sent from men, nor through the agency of man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren who are with me, to the churches of Galatia. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins so that he might rescue us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever. Amen. I am amazed, Paul writes, that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel, which is really not another, only there are some who disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we, or an angel from heaven, should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have been preached to you, he is to be accursed. As we have said before, so I write again now, if any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to what you have received, he is to be accursed. Verse 10. And now for a little bit, as you can see in your Bibles, probably if you own a Scofield Bible, it gives you a heading to verse 10 as a new section starts, Paul's defense of his apostolic ministry. Verse 10. For I am now seeking favor of men or of God, or am I striving to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. For I would have you know, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it. But, and I'd like you to notice this expression in your Bibles, if it reads similarly, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. We'll come back to that a little later. And remember, practical application in our lives. As you're reading here along with me, think of things that could be applied in our own lives personally, you and I both, okay? So let me read that again. But I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. Verse 13 starts another section. For you have heard of my former manner of life in Judaism, how I used to persecute the church of God beyond measure and try to destroy it. And I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries among my countrymen, being more extremely zealous for my ancestral tradition. Now I would like you to notice these three words. If you can, underline them, at least in your mind, if not in your Bible. But when God, we'll come back to that too a little bit later, I hope, as well. But when God, who had set me apart, even from my mother's womb, and called me through his grace, was pleased to reveal his Son in me, so that I may preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately consult with flesh and blood, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went to Arabia and returned once more to Damascus. Then 3 years later, I went up to Jerusalem to become acquainted with Cephas, or Peter, and stayed with him 15 days. But I did not see any other of the apostles except James, the Lord's brother. Now, in what I am writing to you, I assure you before God that I am not lying. Then I went into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and I still, unknown by sight to the churches of Judea, which were in Christ, but only they kept hearing, he who once persecuted, quote, he who once persecuted us is now preaching the faith which he once tried to destroy. And finally, verse number 24, and this is a very important verse, and they were glorifying God because of me. Let's bow our heads and ask the Lord's help to the exposition of his word. Our Father, we thank you for this passage in Scripture. And as Paul writes about a false gospel, Father, we know we live in an age where even amongst Christendom, there is a false gospel. So, Father, we pray that you would help us to be true, to be holy, to stick to your word, our Father, to stick to that which we have been taught of the truths of thee, our God. Bless thy word now as we explore a little thoughts this morning, and for application to each of our lives. May we be challenged this morning, and may you be glorified in all of this. May the Lord be lifted up, and may your name be glorified, we pray, as we ask it in the name that is above every name, the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In this message of Galatians, throughout the book, we, of course, Mark brought up some good points on Wednesday night as well, but we see a problem of legalism, the problems and challenges of transitioning from a religion based on rules to a religion based on relationship. You know, that's a great little thing. Let's just pause for a second right there. I love to to use that when people approach you. You know, you have an opportunity to share. Sometimes it's only 30 seconds or a minute. And they say, well, that's interesting, but I have my own religion. And so there's an opportunity for us to just put a little, some thoughts in their mind. Well, that's good, but I have a relationship with a living God. Amen? We have a relationship with a living God. So the problems and challenges we see here are from transitioning from a religion based on rules to one based on relationship. And in chapters 1 here and also chapter 2, we'll see the word gospel mentioned some 10 times. So it's important to take note of that. And we learn from this passage and other passages throughout the book of Galatians, we learn a number of things. There's three important things that I saw when I was studying myself, and I'd like to share them at opening with you this morning. They begin with the letter V. Why are you not surprised, right? So concerning the death of our Lord Jesus Christ, he laid down his life voluntarily. So it was voluntary. His death was voluntary. It was vicarious, his death. He went to the cross paying the penalty for our sins in our place. It was our substitute. So his death was not only voluntary, but it was vicarious. And of course, as we remembered this morning in the worship of our Lord Jesus Christ, and what a precious time it was victorious. His death was victorious. Amen? Amen. He rescued us from this present evil age, even to use Paul's exact words. He rescued us from the dominion of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. He won the battle over sin. That was mentioned this morning. He won the battle over death and hell, too. And he rose victorious. He destroyed death, one brother said, which was 100% accurate. So our Lord Jesus Christ, as we look at this in terms of practical application to our lives, this relationship that we have come in, this true gospel that we have been blessed to receive, it points us to a Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, that went to the cross voluntarily on our behalf, vicariously and victoriously, and we can say hallelujah for that. In the opening verses in chapter number 1, we see Paul, and even through the chapter 2, further on into verse 10, we see the apostle affirming his apostleship. You notice the order of the words in verse 3. I found this interesting. Grace and to you, and peace from God our Father. And I said at the opening, I'd like to look at, as we look at these verses, rather than expository verse by verse, but just look at them in terms of application to our lives. Grace and peace. Grace and peace. You know, I like the footnote. I'm going to read for you because I highlighted it in my Bible. Some of you have a Scofield Bible. I'm going to read this for you and then comment on it. The test of the gospel is grace. Amen? The test of the gospel is grace. If the message excluded grace or mingled law with grace as a means of either justification or sanctification, or denies the fact or guilt of sin, which alone gives grace its occasion and opportunity, Scofield writes, it is a different gospel. And that's what they were believing, see? The gospel and the preaching of it is under God's condemnation, but it is God's gift to us. So grace and peace. Now, I was thinking of this as I read that. Isn't it true that once we've received the grace of God in salvation, the peace of God comes to us, the peace of God. And as Jesus says, it's a peace that passes all understanding. And so I stop as I challenge my heart now before you. I challenge your heart this morning. Are we living in the reality of that peace? Are we living in the reality of that peace? We certainly are living in the reality of the grace of God that we do not deserve, his mercy, his grace. But are we living in the reality of that peace? So I'll leave that thought with you this morning as it challenges my heart. Verse 4 says, who gave himself for our sins so that he might rescue us from this present evil age. And I was thinking about that as we live in the year 2016 and it's quickly coming to a close. We live in a present evil age, don't we? And probably more evil than we've ever seen it before. It was not too many years ago, some of you middle-aged people can probably remember, we were watching TV and things like My Three Sons was on. Does anybody remember any of those type of shows? So what I'm just saying is even in the media, things like that have so tremendously changed, and the presence of evil is so strong, even in television, of shows that are on today, you almost cringe at some of the commercials, advertising shows that I'm sure none of us would think of watching. Satanic. The emphasis is on this present evil age. And so we have been rescued from that, brothers and sisters. We have been bought with such a price. And so as we look further down, Paul is speaking to these believers, writing to these believers rather, and he says, I'm amazed, in verse 6, please, I'm amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of God to a different gospel. And I thought, what strong language. Paul's astonished at them that they've turned from the true gospel. They've perverted, and it's no gospel at all. And it doesn't take long for us to see, even as I opened in prayer this morning, the Holy Spirit brought to mind, the churches in Christendom today, some of them have moved away from the gospel and are preaching a feel-good gospel. And that everything is going to be okay once you trust in Jesus. And it's the wrong way to come to the Lord. It has nothing to do with the fact that we are sinners before an angry God. Amen? And so even today, the gospel's been perverted. So how well are we doing in sharing the true gospel? That was what came before me as I read this passage in ways of practical application. How am I doing in presenting the true gospel? And you know, as we look at verse 10, as we skip ahead and look at verse 10, how Paul received it. How did we receive the gospel? How did Paul receive the gospel? Well, we know how Paul was converted. And then as we look at verse 10, he says, I am now seeking the favor of men or of God? No. Or am I striving to please men? No. If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. And we are bondservants of Christ, are we not? Amen? And so verse 11 says, Paul says, I would have you know, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through the revelation of Jesus Christ. And that's how the gospel came to us, through the revelation of Jesus Christ. So how are we doing on revealing that to others? How am I doing in my life in sharing that gospel, that divine revelation that saved my precious soul, that saved your soul? You know, we meet with people day by day who are lost, and they really haven't a clue. They really haven't a clue. And it's up to us to share that. So the choice of hymns, more about Jesus, is as we spend time with him, and spend time in prayer, spend time in his word, that he empowers us. It's not about us, but he gives us the strength and the power and the courage to speak out, sometimes bringing us way beyond our comfort zone. Amen? Verse 15, but when God, I told you we'd come back to that. These words changed everything in Paul's life when that light shone upon him, right? Changed everything. And it changes everything in our lives when we think where we were. And some of us were blessed to be brought up in such an assembly like this, or a gospel chapel or Bible chapel or a gospel hall or whatever our background was. Some were not, and some were not. And when God came into our lives, but when God, verse 15, these three words changes everything in our life, everything. And you know, it's interesting. You know how I like phrases and expressions, so I'll put this one before you. If you look up, you ever want to look up that little expression, but God, or but when God, and you like to do phrase studies or word searches in your Bible programs, you'll find that that expression, but God, is mentioned 40 times in Scripture, 40 times in the Word of God. And I was thinking about times that it was mentioned, And as the children of Israel were leaving under bondage, and they were coming to the Red Sea, and they were saying in today's language, what are we going to do now? But when God came before me. But when God. And he used Moses and parted the Red Sea. And as they're running through, they're being pursued by the enemy. And we are being pursued by the enemy today. Believe me, I share with you what I was sharing many years ago in the local assembly in Cheshire, Connecticut. And I use this expression, and I'm convinced it's to my own heart. We are being pursued by the enemy, brothers and sisters, in our life every day. And if you don't feel like you're in a battle, examine your heart. Something's wrong. If you don't feel that you're being buffeted by the enemy, then there's something seriously wrong. 40 times in Scripture, but when God. And when God saw that, he made the waters come down upon the enemy. And they all drowned. But when God. Hold your finger there to Galatians chapter 1. And would you turn quickly, please, to the book of Ephesians. Turn, please, just a few pages over to Ephesians. And I'd like you to look with me just at a couple verses together at chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And read along in your Bible, please, as I read to you. Let's start with verse 1. We're going to read down to verse 9 for connection. And the true gospel, saved by grace, not by works. That's the thought I want to share with you and encourage your heart with. In my Bible, it's titled above chapter 2 of Ephesians. It says, Method of Salvation, the mystery of salvation, our past, our present, our future. And so Ephesians 2, verse 1, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that now is working in the sons of disobedience. Among them, we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging in the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But God, verse 4, but God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And we said amen to that. Amen? So, you're not sure. So that in the ages to come, he might show the surpassing riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. And verse 8 and 9, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, and not the result of works, so that anyone should boast. Ties right into this business that we've looked at in a little bit in chapter 1, and we'll continue to look at through the course of our study of Galatians. So, brothers and sisters, saved by grace, not by works. Hallelujah for that. Go back to Galatians, please. And brothers and sisters, may we never lose sight of the awesome work of God in our salvation. Redeemed, reconciled, restored, renewed, and rescued. There's four or five R's there. Redeemed by his precious blood, reconciled, brought back to God, restored from what we were in times past, renewed in our spirit, rescued from the dominion of darkness. Remember how the children of Israel were under slavery, but God saw them and he preserved Moses there. Remember, as a little child, and he rescued his people, and then they fled, of course, as I mentioned earlier. But by God's grace, he saved them, preserved them all the way through those 40 years in the wilderness. So by application in my life and in your life, think just for a moment. I'd like you to be silent for just a moment. I'm going to be silent for just a moment here. And I'd like you to think back. Think back to your Christian experience. And some that I'm speaking to today go back many more years than I and others. How many times have you and I experienced in the loneliness of our midnight times when we can't sleep or when we're going through an illness or when loss, sadness of a loss of a loved one, those three words, I would have fainted, but when God. But when God. Could we not say over and over, God did a miraculous work in our life. Look back on how he worked in our life. And there's different situations here. If we were to ask people to share the stories, would probably go on all through the afternoon, well into the evening. But when God rescued us, redeemed us, reconciled us, and then through our times of illness, saw us through, and we could say, I am thine, O Lord. I have heard thy voice, and it told thy love to me. This morning, as we've looked a little bit at this passage here in Galatians chapter 1, we come down to the end of the chapter. You know, just quickly mention verse 18 to you is an interesting thing. Or where is it that he goes to Arabia? Verse 17. I was doing a little studying about that, and I found it interesting that when Paul went to Arabia, and while he was there in Arabia, some of the commentary said he went alone there to study, to meditate, and to receive further instruction. The product of which we read about in the book of Romans, one of the commentaries said. And I thought, what's my Arabia? You know, what's my time alone with the Lord? What does that look like in your life and in my life? The necessity of that is paramount to our being what we need to be for God, bondservants of him. Set apart by God. Paul was set apart by God to do a divine work in his strength, in God's strength. Set apart by God to do a divine work in God's and with God's strength. And that's what we are. Set apart by God to, with God's strength alone, to do a work for him. And set apart to God. Set apart to God. Not just by God, but to God. So that what? So that his glory might be revealed in our lives. That's where verse 24 comes in. By way of practical application, we've seen a few things here in this chapter that encourage our hearts. And so as they were glorifying God because of him, and I wrote in my Bible, that ought to be one of the goals in my life as a believer, that my life might bring glory to him. God receiving the glory. God revealed his son to our hearts. He did a great work in our lives so that we might share that glorious, true gospel. It isn't, as we started to, maybe it's been a year or so since Anne Marie have been, Bill and been our neighbors. We shared with our neighbors as you have shared with yours, I'm sure. They came in to us as Roman Catholics, and when they heard that we were born again Christians, there's no coincidence with God, brothers and sisters. There's God incidences. Anne Marie's first comment, it seems like yesterday, maybe it's been over a year now that our neighbors have moved in, when she said, oh, your name is Satoli, you must be Italian, you must be Catholic. I says, no, we're born again Christians. Well, wasn't that an interesting thing? Because out of Anne Marie's voice came these words. Isn't that something, she said. My best friend back in Philly, where we just moved, is a born-again Christian. God places you and I in a place of work. Even in the home with the children, he places us where he would have us be. And he gives us the strength and he gives us the courage to do what we need to do to bring glory to Him. These words echo of you. I hope we can play this now, and that you might look at this hymn sheet and just pay attention to the words as we close now. We have just enough time to play this. That it would challenge your hearts, that we might be an echo of God in our lives.
Offer outstretched hands upon a cruel